Going to continue to talk about the signs of the times, and what better place to look at than to look at the days of Lot and Noah. And the Lord himself, in the book of Matthew, let's read these verses again. So in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verses 37 and 38, 30 to 39.
But as the days of
Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came, and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And as we heard earlier in this conference, that the Lord showed us that before he comes, and before the coming of his day of judgment, is that the great day of God's wrath, that the condition that we will be living in this world will be just like the days of Noah and Lot. And the next part we can read here is, this doesn't talk about the days of Lot, but Luke does. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Verses 28 and 29.
Likewise,
as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And I think, well, I know that today we have to be very alert. We have to be watchful. Don't be ignorant of what's happening around us. And like John was sharing with us this morning, we can already see the development in the church. But very obviously, if you ever turn on the news or look around you or listen to people around you, you can see that society has changed drastically, even in the last 10 years. And you'll notice that it is more and more becoming like the days of Noah and Lot. So if you look at the verses here, what were people doing? It says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. So they were so consumed with their own life, enjoying life, living life, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And so we have to be careful. Don't just point fingers and say, look at those people, that's what they're doing. But this is the word of the Lord speaking to us, that we could be, and probably are, falling in this situation as well. We are, you know, you're coming to the meetings, you're in this conference, but still in your heart, you're consumed with enjoying life. You're consumed with just doing the things that everyone else is doing in this world. And we're not being watchful. We're not building the ark and preparing for the coming of the Son of Man. And in the same way, in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank. And like John was saying yesterday, what do people love to do? They love to eat and drink, you know, and it's not to say you can't eat and drink anymore. Obviously, you have to, but, you know, it's all about enjoying and, you know, satisfying your pleasures and being consumed with it. Right? They bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. Like John was sharing yesterday, that it is not wrong to do these things, but it consumes us and overtakes us so much that we miss out on the obvious signs. And even worse is if we get sucked into the same type of degradation that the world is in. So, yes, these are the things that were happening during the days of Lot and Noah in these few verses, but let's take a look actually at what it was like. If you read in Genesis, so let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Do I have that here? No, I don't think I do. It's okay. So Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Let's read it together. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man in the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So in these verses you see here, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was very great. And today, you don't have to be super alert, but that you can tell that there is a lot of wickedness in this world. There's a lot of corruption. And it says here, the thoughts, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord, being so righteous, he couldn't just leave it like that. He had to do something about it. So immediately, well, he gave the people a chance. He gave them the time for Noah to build this ark. And this is the age that we are in. You know, we have to realize that we are living in such an age, and the Lord is trying to speak to us. We are to be the ones who are building this ark, to get ready, because the Lord cannot tolerate this for much longer. He will have to judge it. You know, one of the questions I get from new ones sometimes is, if God is so good, why does he allow so much, so many terrible things and evil things to happen in this world? Because their concept is that God is good. You know, he should stop all the evil in this world. Well, he is. He definitely is, and he's righteous. But he is also very merciful. He's giving humanity a chance to find him and turn back to him. But don't think that he will leave all this unpunished. He will definitely do something about it. And if you look at verse 11 and 12, it says, the earth was corrupt before God. Okay, so there's corruption. And the earth was filled with violence. And later on, I want to show you just how bad it is. You know, here in beautiful Fountain Valley, you don't see a lot of violence. And even where I am in Canada, in Toronto, we don't see you see occasional crime here and there, but you don't see a lot of violence. It's not filled with violence. So because we're not in it, you don't realize how bad it is, actually. And I'll show you later how bad it is. In verse 12, it says, God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And there, don't be mistaken, there is a lot of corruption that we don't see. And as John was sharing yesterday, even in the highest levels of government, there is corruption. And it's not just, you know, because a lot of the speaking is around the U.S. I'm not American, but even in my country, in Canada, there's people look to Canada as the model of a good country and a safe country. But even in our government, which is led now by a liberal government, there is a lot of corruption. you know, there was recently in the news, it was reported that a group of Chinese billionaires wanted to get their bank approved. So they wanted to start up a new bank. So they invited the prime minister over for a fundraising event. And in this event, they had, it was a $1,500 per person dinner. And, you know, they wined and dined him. And one of the billionaires donated to the Trudeau Foundation that was set up by his father. And guess what? A month later, the bank was approved. So normally, you know, you have to go through a very rigorous process to set up a bank in Canada. But, you know, you just need to wine and dine the prime minister, get on his good side, and there you go. It's done, right? So, and the public is complaining about it, but what can they do? This is how the world works. If you've got money and influence, you can get things done. You can sidestep the rules. And it's corruption. Right? Corruption is everywhere. And so the Lord, this is just a small example, but there's so many things happening in our society that we don't realize. And the Lord, it says here, the Lord looks upon it. He can see. You don't see it, but he sees it, how corrupt this world is. And we are certainly in these days. So now let's look at Genesis chapter 19. By the way, one of those billionaires is actually the landlord of our meeting hall. Yeah. Seriously.
Must have donated a few million.
Yeah, yeah. They, of course. Oh, yeah, they did.
Apart from dining and wining.
Yeah. Of course, if you've got money, you just need to donate and, you know. They call it donate, but we call it bribe.
Right.
It's actually bribing. So Genesis 19, chapter 19, verses 2 to 5. Do I have it right? Yeah, okay, so this is the story of Lot. And it gives you an idea of what it was like in Sodom. And here, starting from 2, remember that Lot was visited by two angels in verse 1. And they were sent there to warn him, his family, and to bring them out of Sodom because God was going to destroy it. And they wanted to spend the evening, the night, in the city square. And verse 2, it says, "And he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' And Lot, but he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Verse 4, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.'" And so in some translations, it's more explicit. They want to have sexual relations with these men. So men with men. And verse 9, you can also see they said, the men of the angels, and they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to stay here." Okay, the men of Sodom. "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. They were violent. They were evil. It was a city filled with sexual immorality. And so because this evil reached up to the heavens and God couldn't bear it anymore, so he destroyed it with fire and brimstone. And so the days of Lot, like Luke talks about the days of Lot being, you know, they drank and they bought and they sold. But if you look at Genesis, it gives you another picture to see that it was filled with sexual immorality. And you don't have to look very far today to find that this is pervasive in our society. Just turn on the TV, look at the movies, it's everywhere. Look at music. You know, I remember music was, long time ago, music was just, you know, violins and piano and something nice. But gradually it became about, you know, women in bathing suits and things like that. And it's ridiculous, right? It's pervaded and permeated into all places of society, the sexual immorality. And I'll show you later how bad it is. Because just like this conference is titled, The Signs of the Times, there are a lot of signs of the times today. And I want to show you. So, in the next slide, signs in today's society, like I said, the decline of morality. But you know this, this is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Okay, but you know, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So, again, this is written a long time ago by Paul, and he was describing the age that we would live in the last days, that perilous times will come. And John was using this verse to describe millennials, those people who are born after 1980, approximately. But I can tell you, yes, it is very prevalent in that generation, but it is common everywhere. Everyone, I mean, like my coworkers, who are much older than I am, some of them definitely have this. You know, they're proud, they're unthankful, unholy people. You know, people you know and meet every day. They're lovers of money. So many people you meet are lovers of money. They just want to make more and more. You know, 1 million isn't enough. They want another million. They want more and more material things. They're unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. They do whatever they feel like. You know, that's such a sign of our the society today, that people just do what they feel like. Whatever makes them happy, whatever brings them pleasure, they go and do it, even at the expense of others. Right? They're headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And it's very unfortunate. Like, this is a sign of the time today. Don't think that this is normal, you know. And definitely do not be caught into this yourself. And another verse here that the Lord showed to me anyways is in Matthew 24. And we experience this often, even in the church life. Matthew 24, verses 10 to 13. Okay. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. This is also speaking about the last days that we live in, that many will be offended. This is such, even in the church, it's such a common problem. It doesn't take much for people to get offended. You know, just a little tiny thing. You didn't say hello to me, or you looked at me the wrong way. I'm offended. I'm never coming to the meetings again. Something like that, right? And the root of bitterness builds up. And not only among the saints, but even in society. Have you ever heard the term snowflake? You know what a snowflake is? You know, you people who live in California who don't see snow. A snowflake is very delicate. If you've ever held a snowflake, and just doesn't take much and it breaks. It's very delicate. It's not tough. It can't take a lot of abuse, right? You just touch it a little and it's hurt. It's damaged. And this is so common of our society today. So many people. That's why, you know, even in the news, you see so many examples of how this group or that group is, or this community or this type of person, they're so easily offended. You know, oh, you've, you know, so-and-so had to make an apology because the gays were offended, or the Muslims were offended, or, you know, the trans LGBT group was offended, or something like that. You know, everybody's offended. Isn't that right? I mean, it everybody gets upset. And I want to show you that because of this attitude that we have in society is led to a lot of the fringe ideas of society becoming pervasive and prevalent, causing a lot of immorality to spread everywhere. Yeah, if you're not accepting and inclusive and encouraging diversity, well, then you're just discriminating, you know. And it forces everybody to have to accept those types of ideas, whether you believe in it or not. And if you are against it, you're persecuted, right? Because you're not accepting of those things. And they will, you know, this is something that the Lord spoke about. In the New King James, it says offended, but there's another translation I looked at. It even says easily offended, right? Easily offended. Yeah. So they'll betray one another. They'll hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. There's so much confusion today. A lot of confusion. But the Lord warns us, he who endures to the end will be saved. Are you able to endure the persecution and hold on to what the Lord has shown us, the holiness and the righteousness that the Lord requires in our life and in the church life? You know, or are you going to cave in and worry about, be concerned about what people will think of us as Christians? So we have to endure to the end. Don't bend. Don't cave into all that pressure, because there will be a lot of pressure. And I want to show you later that especially in our educational institutions, there is even more pressure. So, swipe. Signs in today's society. I only have a small list here, but I just want to go through some of these. So, the Lord also showed us that in the time before he returns, the coming of the Lord, that there will be pestilences, there will be famine, earthquakes. You know, just recently, we see earthquakes around the world. You know, there's diseases, and there's going to be violence, and I called it Islamic terrorism. And yes, there's a lot of violence, but particularly I want to point out Islamic terrorism, because I was surprised at how bad it really is. Again, just because we live in a peaceful society, don't be fooled. There is a lot of violence in this world. There are gender issues, lesbian, gay, and all these things, same-sex marriage. There's Christian persecution and discrimination. Even in America, in North America, in a Western society, there is already Christian persecution. You won't be thrown in jail, but definitely there is some persecution against us. There's anti-Israel sentiment. And even in the last couple of days, you can see, surprisingly, the United Nations, who was supposedly for uniting of nations, they are anti-Israel. It's very surprising. Actually, we shouldn't be surprised. It's all in the hands of the evil one. And there's liberal brainwashing in schools, in universities. The pursuit of self-interest, pleasure, and enjoying of life. These are all signs that we see in today's society. So I want to point these things out, but I want to show you even more that this should wake us up. Don't accept it as, oh, that's just too bad. But then you do nothing about it. But you have to realize this is exactly the Lord had already foretold that these things are going to happen. And it should be a message to us. So just quickly here, disease. I remember a big one when I was growing up was HIV/AIDS. It was a pandemic that started in the 1980s. It was, you know, celebrities were singing about it. It was all over the news. Many, many people died from it. And very interestingly, from the U.S. government, there's a government website called AIDS.gov, and they have some statistics. And it says here, gay and bisexual men are the population most affected by HIV. You know, they try to say, no, it affects everybody. No, but the statistics show that it is primarily gays and bisexuals. It is. The Lord has to judge. He will wait until the great day of his wrath. But even before that, he is starting to judge in some ways. And this also fulfills what he had said, that before his coming, there will be pestilences. And not only that, but we saw there's SARS. Remember that? There's Ebola. That was terrible, right? So many people died. There was Zika. There was the bird flu. There's so many things. Right? On and on. There's every few months, maybe after a few months, you'll see something else. Another big... there was mad cow. You couldn't eat beef. Everybody's afraid. Well, this isn't just by accident. You never hear about so many diseases that spread so far and wide. Maybe even 50 years ago. I don't think there was anything like that. But you can see, even starting from the 1980s onwards to today, there's so much more and more of these things. Signs in today's society, violence. Look at this. I just pulled up. You don't have to read everything, okay? But it's just to give you a picture. But look, the one we know most is 9/11 in New York. 2,996 dead. Islamic terrorism. There was one in Indonesia in 2002. Tourist bombing, 202 dead. In Russia, 170. Spain, 192. The Boston Marathon bombing, 3 dead but 183 injured. Syria, ISIS massacres, 700. Paris, last year, 17 dead. San Bernardino, that was in California, shootings left 14 dead. Germany, knife attack on the train, 5 injured. In Ohio, last month, car ramming attack, 11 were injured. And just recently, in Berlin, a truck attack, 12 people died, 56 were injured. And these are all Islamic terrorism. This is becoming more and more common. And I have a website, you know, I was looking up some of these numbers, and there's actually a Wikipedia page that has a list of all the Islamic terrorist attacks. Somebody's keeping track of it. And, you know, here, the news is only telling us a small part of it. Let me go down to 2010. Okay, this is 2010, okay? That's 2010, 11, 12, 13. You can see from 2012, there was 788 plus, they calculated. In 2013, it jumps up to 768, and then 2014, so long, it jumps up to 2120. And then 2015, look at how long this list is. Right, that's a long list. And then 2016, look at that. It's longer. These are all Islamic terrorist attacks. This doesn't, it's just by one religious group doing these things. And the list is growing and growing every year. If that's not a sign, come on, we have to wake up. Okay, this is, there is definitely something happening today. And in many cases, they're also targeting Christians. So this is why this religion of Islam is definitely something that was instituted by Satan himself. There is no other explanation for that. Next, there's another one that is so becoming so common, the gender issues. So recently in the Supreme Court, I was really surprised by this. The Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage is a right nationwide. So it becomes legal everywhere in the United States. You know, something that was unimaginable even 10 years ago, 5 years ago, now has become legal everywhere. It's just society, the morality of society going down the drain. Again, right, in CNN it says, Supreme Court rules in favor of same-sex marriage nationwide. And now there's this, in North Carolina, there was a debate about what kind of bathrooms transgender people should use. So, you know, if I, one day I feel like, oh, I want to be a woman, well, then I should have the right to go into a woman's bathroom. But if I decide to be a man tomorrow, I can go into the men's bathroom. And then, you know, if I'm nothing, I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't go to the bathroom anymore. You know, it's becoming so ridiculous now. So anybody can just, yeah, you're shocked too. Anybody can just identify as whatever they want. You know, I could be born as a man, but then I feel like I'm actually a girl. I start dressing up like a girl and I can do whatever I want.
Abomination.
It's an abomination. And look how, and this is just from this month's, this is not a long time ago, this is this month's National Geographic cover. It shows a picture of a 9-year-old boy, that is a boy, who his parents felt that he should grow up, they should not define him as a boy, they should let him pick whatever gender he likes. And he decided to pick to live as a girl. This is what people are teaching nowadays in the name of liberal, to be liberal and to be inclusive, you know, and it's so, it's permeated into society. It's really an abomination. And, you know, I'll tell you an example in Canada. It is, there is a bill that's introduced into Parliament that will make it illegal. It will become illegal for people to misgender somebody. So, for example, if John, you decide one day you want to identify yourself as a woman, it would be illegal for me to say, no, you're not a woman, you're a man. Because it hurts your feelings. Remember the snowflake? Yeah, so I'm going to hurt his feelings because he was born a man and he wants to be a woman today. And I said, no, you're not a woman, you're a man. I will hurt his feelings and he can sue me for breaching, for going against his human rights. And I will be in trouble with the law because I have, you know, I'm discriminating against him. That's what's happening in Canada.
Days of Lot.
It's like the days of Lot. It is exactly like that. It's just become, everything is turning upside down. And yeah, so there's that. I was, when I first heard about this issue, I thought maybe we should identify as tax exempt. You know, just tell everybody, no, I'm a tax exempt person. I refuse to pay taxes. I don't think that'll work. No. And no, yeah, don't offend me. Don't make me pay taxes. And, you know, even in my workplace, I was asked to fill out a survey online, just a work survey. And, you know, I went to the webpage. There was a form, you know, you fill in your first name and your last name. And then there was a drop-down box for gender. And, of course, I was I was expecting just male and female. And then I opened up the drop-down box, and there were 11 choices. There was like male, female, intersex, and this and this, and I can't even remember what they are. But it's like this is in a major corporation in Canada. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, it is really crazy. So I can choose, if I don't want to be male or female, I can choose any one of those. So this is really happening around us. I don't know what it's like in Europe, but I assume you have similar things. Yeah, because of the liberal mentality that's spreading everywhere. Okay, the next one is anti-Christian discrimination. And of course, because we see that this is perversion, and we see that these are things that are happening in the days of Lot, we realize that we must pursue holiness. If you stand against it, you will be discriminated. You will be persecuted. And here in the New York Times, I found this article. Marco Rubio, who was one of the Republican candidates, he was warning Christian conservatives of the cost of gay intolerance. So you Christians don't be intolerant of gays. Stop it. Otherwise, you could have consequences. It would be bad for you. And he's supposed to be a Christian, I believe. But if we are so easily to just cave in and worried about offending the gay community, then we're in trouble. We are not afraid of offending. We should not be afraid of offending those people. All right, we must fear the Lord. And the next one here is, I found on Fox News, there was a professor who said, students want me out because I'm a conservative Christian. Because she did not support their liberal views. And they're supposed to preach tolerance and inclusion and diversity. Yet, if you're a Christian, doesn't apply to you, right? You get out. And another one, gay group demands Christian churches be shut down for opposing same-sex marriage. Yeah, there is such a thing. You know, and I think that one day, possibly in Canada where we live, because we don't agree with this type of trend, then the direction it's heading now, especially if this bill passes, that the government could take away our status, our charitable status, right? Because they will deem us to be discriminating against the gay community. Right? This is the direction that the world is headed. Yeah. And of course, anti-Israel, we all know this one, right? It didn't change. Just keep talking. Hold on. Technical. No, I didn't. It was on. Okay. Okay, I'll continue. I'll show you like this. Okay. Show you like this. Okay, so if you can see here, use your binoculars. The signs of today's society, it's becoming more anti-Israel as well. You know, in the United Nations, just a couple of months ago, the United Nations Cultural Agency, UNESCO, they passed a controversial resolution which makes no reference to Jewish sites, to a key holy site, Jewish ties to a key holy site in Jerusalem. So they refused to recognize the Temple Mount as the Temple Mount. They would not call it that. Rather, instead, the resolution uses the Arabic name for it, for that piece of land. So it was very upsetting to many Jews because it shows that the UN is obviously biased towards Arabs. They rather refer to that piece of land as the, I forget the name. Oh, it's on that one. Okay. Yeah, it must have. Yeah, so they rather use the Arabic name rather than call it the Temple Mount. And it is certainly the Temple Mount. So it shows the bias of the United Nations. And then here, of course, we know this one. Egypt initiated a resolution to stop the building of settlements in Israel. And the expectation was that the U.S. would support or would veto this resolution, right? Because Egypt wants to stop building because they don't want Israel to expand anymore. And the expectation was that the U.S. would veto, would stop this resolution from going through. But actually, we're not surprised, but Obama, he decided to abstain from voting. So meaning that, well, I don't want to upset the Jews, but I also don't want to upset the Arabs, so I'd rather just not vote. And this really shows that even the government here of the traditionally friend of Israel rather just not help Israel. And that really upset Israel. It just shows that this is another sign today that these things are happening. The world, the trend of this world is to be anti-Israel also. And of course, this one, I was talking about the brainwashing in schools and universities. And, you know, this was just an article I clipped from one of our magazines in Canada, is that the school board of Toronto, they were promoting health education that included a link to an organization that suggested kids explore their sexuality. I'm not going to read the rest of it. But, you know, it's crazy that today, as part of the educational system in our province of Ontario, is that they're teaching little children these things that they really don't need to know. Things about transsexualism, about gays and lesbians and that type of lifestyle, and to be accepting of it. You know, I had lunch with a coworker not too long ago, and she was telling me about a friend of hers, a five-year-old. And the five-year-old came home and told her mom that, you know, I learned today that it's okay to have two dads and two moms. This is a five-year-old child who learned this. And they're teaching them these things, and it's become part of the official curriculum. Yeah. That's right. And this is just, and you know, they're brainwashing children from such a young age. And this is another one. This is an actual poster from the Toronto School Board. It says, "Love has no gender." So look, they show, you know, man with man, of course, man with woman, woman with woman. And look at this one. I blew it up. Man with two women. It's just crazy, right? And then there's this one. There are no rules for being a boy or a girl. You can do whatever you like. And we're here, we're queer, we're in your school. Yeah, so this is, they're brainwashing our children to accept this sort of lifestyle. And of course, what we spoke about earlier today, another one of the signs in society is that there's eating and drinking, marriage, and just general self-indulgence. You know, this is from an actual Facebook, since you mentioned Facebook postings about food. It wasn't hard for me to find one, so I just put it up. It's a nice piece of cake or something like that in there, right? Everybody wants to enjoy the best foods, eat at the best restaurants, try this, try that. Oh, did you try this dish or that dish? You know, their life is about enjoying things. You know, I'm not saying you can't eat, right? But people, we become so consumed with just enjoying life, you know, making money, buying a bigger house, getting married. You know, unfortunately, even in the church life, we've seen people who have their walk with the Lord just paralyzed because they were so consumed with finding a spouse that they could only think of that and they could not go on. And even people who have left the church because of the choices they made. It really is. We have to see that these things are a lie, a deception of the enemy. Right? To not be consumed with these sort of things. Of course, Hollywood, right? It's just the enjoyment of seeing things, of filling your brain and your soul with the things that come out of the entertainment industry, right? Everybody wants to be entertained. And one of the things I noticed was even in Christian denominations where I used to meet before, you know, the so-called church services have become just Christian entertainment. You go there to be entertained, to listen to a nice choir, to some nice singing, a nice production, a nice sermon. Right? Everything is about entertaining and satisfying your flesh, satisfying your soul. So one, how much time do I have?
No more.
No more? Okay, all right. Then I'll just, you can read it on your own. But anyways, I was just going to show that this was a very interesting example, how Pompeii was a recent example of how judgment happened on a city that was filled with sexual immorality. Okay, so take heed. There's a picture of a snare. Don't get trapped in the snare. Amen.